and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy, and wiser, blessed Lord, and wiser for the one last time now. Wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious. Will you ask God for this wisdom that you'll be wise? In this end time, Christians will be foolish and half Christians will be wise. The story of the 10 virgins. Pray that you'll not be among the foolish virgins. Ask that you'll be a wise virgin, wise unto salvation. That you will not be careless with your salvation. That you'll be wise. You'll be wise. That the enemy will not play drums. Play drums over your salvation. That the enemy will not become a masquerade dancing on the pathway to your heaven. Pray that you'll be a wise, blessed son of the living God. In the name of Jesus. And our wisdom is going to exude from his holy word. Pray that the Lord will make us wise. Paul told Timothy, from childhood I have known the holy scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. Lord, make me wise unto salvation. Don't make me carnal. Don't make me a fool. Don't allow me just end up anyhow. Lord, send your word to me and let your word bring glory to your name through my life. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we thank you. I wanted to also appreciate the Lord for bringing you to this evening fellowship. This is second to the last fellowship of the year. Next Sunday will be the last one. Your prayer, your thanking God for keeping you all through January. Will you want to express yourself to the Lord like that? You're saying, Lord, thank you for your keeping. Thank you for your preservation. Thank you. I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not where I used to be either. I am moving gradually. I'm following you. I may not be so perfect yet, but I'm tiptoeing. I'm coming behind, Lord. Thank you for your preservation. Thank you for your goodness and mercies that have been following me in all that I do and say. Thank you for your good hand that is upon me. How we bless your name, righteous Father. We give you glory and pray. Will you want to pray for some of our brethren? Some have come for just up to 6 months. We've not seen that. There are several brethren like that. We went to visit one today. She came 4 months ago. She has not come again. Let's pray for us. Many that have come to evening fellowship before. You are saying, Lord, rekindle your zeal in their heart again. Create a reminder in their mind in the name of Jesus. You are praying for our brethren we've not seen for a while now. Some 2 months, some 1 month, some for a very long time now. So you are praying at this time. You are saying, Father, we are praying for our brethren. And Lord, you will preserve them. You will bring them back to fellowship. You will bring them back to this koinonia, this united agreement in serving you and in pursuing your cause over this land. Lord, we ask that you preserve them. You will keep them. Do not backslide from the faith. Oh, in the name of Jesus. You that keepeth Israel, you neither sleep nor you slumber. We are asking that your mercies will come forth, will shine through again and again. How we thank you because you've answered beyond this prayer. Blessed be your name. Finally, I want you to thank the Lord for the TYC meeting we had yesterday. The Lord embarrassed us. The Lord gave us more than we expected. I want you to bless the name of the Lord. The Lord sent teenagers to us. They came in their numbers, shooting up to 80, 90, even up to 100. We are praying and thanking God for his goodness. I don't want you to take that for granted. This was our second meeting with the teenagers, and God is already blazing a trail among them. I want you to just thank the Lord for that meeting. It was just a few hours meeting, and the Lord had his way. Let's bless his name. It came by his goodness. There's nothing we can do for God. If God do not mobilize men, they will never come. We bless your name, Father, for such goodness that you extended to us. Lord, we did not know how you were going to do it, but you did it your own way. We bless you, Father. We refuse to take it for granted. We thank you, great Father of glory, pure Father of light. Oh, thy angels adore you, unveiling your sight. Thank you, Father. Oh, loud we are rendering now for being who you are. Silent as night, you speak not, yet you do great wonders. Silent as night, and yet your wonders, we can feel them. We bless you, Father. We have come with sacrifices, with our lips full with testimonies, oh Lord, of joy and of your blessedness. Thank you for the provisions. Oh Lord, we are running here and there trying to find a way to meet up in order to get these people's snacks. But you took over in all of this. We bless your name, Father. We look to your throne and we say, blessed be your holy name. We worship and bless you. Lord, we are not among the nine who are always very ungrateful. We have come again to say, blessed be your holy name. We cry to you when we pray for over a month, praying for this meeting. And Lord, not when you have blessed us with such a meeting and we will forget to thank you. We have come again as a congregation. We pray over this meeting here. And we have come again here to say, blessed be your name. Thank you for great things you've done and greater things you will do for us. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Sit down for a few minutes as we push tonight or this evening. Sunday evening fellowship. Brethren, there are chairs here. This fine space. There are a lot of chairs all over. Okay? Space everywhere. All right. They sent me, I cannot greet everybody, but can you just extend my greeting to someone by your side? Say, you are welcome and the Lord bless you. Please greet one or two persons and welcome them to Sunday evening fellowship. This is the second to the last one for the year. After next Sunday, we will not meet again here, 2020. And I want to see you in 2020. The Lord will bless you in the new year coming. Now, for the past two Sundays, we'll be looking at when kings go to war. This has been the evening fellowship discussion we've been looking at. And you realize that in the first day we met, we began to look at Psalm 24. And the Lord began to show us how to enter the earth. We saw that this earth has a door, has a gate, and that you will never succeed on this earth until God grants you mercy to enter the earth. We saw those three gates that we must enter. And we saw that, he said, who is this King of glory? He said, the Lord, mighty in battle. We saw that it takes the Lord who is mighty in battle for him to open up the fountains of this earth. And I want to tell you, there's so much in this Lagos that we are. The fact that we are scrambling for little does not mean that in this city there's just little. No, there's abundance of wealth in this city. But God is very careful to give it to us because he's not sure we've been properly discipled to use those words for his glory. So, please, but not to the back, please. But John, not. We still have about five chairs here, please. If you put them at the back, they may not be able to hear. So, we'd rather prefer. We still have, there's a space here, there's a space, there are two spaces. If brethren sit properly, we still have space. Thank you. Now, so, you follow me tonight. We'll have a lot to look at. It's going to be a praying moment, as usual. It's warfare. So, we'll go back to our team text, 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'll share in two ways. I wish there can be three ways to share, but let me try two ways now. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. May the Lord give us the spirit to pray in the name of Jesus. Now look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, where we got our team text. What did you find in verse 1? Yes. Now, it came to pass after the year was expired. We are saying when kings go to war, they go to war when the year is about to come to an end. As the year was expiring, and I'm praying that as 2019 is expiring, may God grant us inspiration for the new year coming. In the name of Jesus. It came to pass as the year was expiring, when kings go forth to war. When kings, so it's very obvious that the best time for kings to go to war is when the year is expiring. It looks as if the enemy is very strategic, that when the year is about to expire, when the year is coming to an end, there are more arsenals of the devil that are released to make sure that men are either killed or people lose their salvation through entertainment. People are no longer serious with the Lord and all of that. So, when kings go to war, and I want you to read that verse for me now. When kings go to war, yes, at the time David go forth to battle. No, I didn't get that. Can you read that for me again? Yes. Very good. David tarried still where? When kings go to war, what happened to David at this point? Now, who can look at that verse and tell me three reasons why David tarried at Jerusalem? Can you look at that? Can you look at that and tell me, why do you think David had the audacity to tarry at home at this time? Number one, you see now, he had produced a wonderful lieutenant in the name of Joab, that son of Zeruiah. David became very confident that whether I go to war or not, Joab is there. His lieutenant was almost replacing him, he thought. But no matter how great and mighty your lieutenant is not you. Your deputy, no matter how much he can deputize for you, what you must do, you must do. So it was king that's supposed to go to war at this time, not lieutenant. Alright? Not lieutenant. So the lieutenant became a succor that this man thought that, is there any need for me to even go to war? And he allowed that to enter his heart. I want you to see what kills our spiritual lives. What is it that damages our ability to war in the spirit? It is when you think that somebody else is praying for you. When you think that somebody is interceding for you, especially when you meet brethren and they tell you we are praying for you. In many years past, when I hear like that, I used to rejoice. But I've come to know that, well, as true as that may be, that will never take the place of me putting my knees down to pray. He produced a lieutenant and he thought that Joab was equivalent to David. And I want to ask you, was Joab equivalent to David? Who is supposed to go to battle according to this verse? Kings. Is Joab a king? He was not a king. Look at the verse, so number one, when you think that somebody else is like you, is beginning to do what you can do, you become relaxed. He became so relaxed, trusting in Joab, and he was disappointed. So, number two, you don't see the issue of what now? His servant with him. All right? So, David had raised servant. Number one, he had raised a lieutenant, and by all means, discipleship enables us to raise lieutenant. We must raise captains and assistant captains. We must continue to war and give brethren opportunity to express the grace of God over their lives. Why that is important, it will never replace who David is supposed to be in this battle. So I want you to look at that. So number one, David relaxed based on his thought on Joab. Number two, based on what, please? Servant. Look at them, so many. Servant with him. That him is Joab. The servant that were with him. David relaxed over his many servant. Again, that's a matter. As we raise disciples, we must never come to a point where we are now having disciples as servants. He said, you go and do this for me. And then we are relaxed. God forbid. God forbid. David is beginning to send not just lieutenant, not just captains. He's beginning to send servant who will go and fight for him. Now I want to ask you. When Saul was pursuing him, was David doing this kind of thing? No, you are not talking. You are not talking. He would not be sending servant when they were pursuing him from the cave of Adullam. He would run from one cave to another overnight. David was racing in the bush. That time, he will not do that. Keep this verse in your mind. And what do you think will happen? Look at the third point there. And all Israel. So David depended on Joab, he depended on his many servants, and then he depended on his nation Israel. He said, well, if I don't go, Joab is there. If I don't go, my servants are with Joab. If I don't go, all Israel is there. But he forgot his role as a captain, as a king. It was a battle for kings, but he delegated that battle to lieutenant, to servant, and to Israel. And I'm praying a prayer. I pray that now I want to see what I'm dealing with. You're not following me yet, so let me show you. Go back to chapter 10. Go back to chapter 10. That's 2 Samuel. You'll see what I'm dealing with. Look at the last. Let me just pick it from verse 15. And when the Assyrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, that's not a good place to start. Let me start from verse 10. Verse 11. And he said, if the Assyrians, verse 9 is better. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hands of who? I can't hear you now. Are you not looking at your Bible? Into the hands of Abishai. Who was Abishai? His brother. Who was the third brother? Correct. Asahel, that was very swift in running. Now, verse 10, and the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. Don't forget that in chapter 11, verse 1, they were fighting against Ammon. So that battle of Ammon did not start in chapter 11. It began in chapter 10, verse 11. And he said to Abishai, if the Syrians be too strong for me, what shall I do, please? Then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I'll do what, please? I'll come and help you. So the children of Israel were fighting against the children of Ammon and the children of what? Syria. Another name for Syria here is Aram. All right? Now, verse 12. Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. Verse 13. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. Verse 14. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. Verse 15. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadarazah sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam. And Shobak, the captain of the host of Hadarazah, went before them. And when it was told David, now listen to verse 17, I want you to know, see what I'm dealing with. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together. I want to ask you, from what we have read so far, was David in the first battle between Syria, the Syrians and Ammon, fighting Joab and his brother Abishai? David was not there. But in verse 17, when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Halam, and the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. Are you following the story now? I'm dealing with the story. We're dealing with when kings go to war. Now, I want to ask you, in that battle, did Joab and his brother, did they defeat the Syrians and the children of Ammon? Did they defeat them? Did they defeat them and kill them? They did not. They ran away. The fact that they ran, he that fight and run, what happened, please? Will leave to fight another day. So there was no victory. In fact, if there was victory, David would not need to come out in verse 17. It was told David, he gathered all Israel together, meaning that there was no victory inside. So David now came into the battle. I wanted to see spiritual battles and strategies in winning them. So David came into the battle in verse 17, and the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. Verse 18. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew. Did you see that now? And David slew the men. How many of them, please? 700 chariots of the Syrians. And how many thousands horsemen? 40,000 horsemen. And what again? And Smo Shobak, yes. Their commander in chief, yes. Who did what, please? Who died there, yes. And when all the kings that were servant to Hadarazah saw that they were smitten before Israel, what did they do, please? They made peace with them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our heart. So I want you to see that the children of Zeruiah, Joab and Abishai, have attempted to fight this battle before. So they went struggling to win the battle, but there was no victory in sight. They fought and fought and fought and fought, no victory in sight. So they came back. When David heard that, David mobilized men to go and fight. And when David went, excuse me, what happened? It took him no time. The battle was easy. Easy. He killed 40,000 in one hand. He killed the horsemen and the chariot and got victory. Now, I want you to see what we are reading. And I want you to see the flow. Now, what do you now find in chapter 11, verse 1 now? I want you to marry the story to chapter 11. What did you see now? Yes, it came to pass. What happened? Yes. Now, I want to ask you, why do you think David stayed back when kings go to war this time? This is where you are saying something to me. Tonight, I want you to see, before we leave here now, before we leave this passage, I want you to see that there is a reason why we are always defeated. There is a reason why we are always defeated. We are defeated at the prime of success. In fact, I want to title this first 15-minute exhortation, Failure. One of the things that characterized the body of Christ as I'm growing up to know the Lord gradually, I'm beginning to realize that we are very good experts in managing battles, but we cannot manage success. It is very easy to manage battles when things are very bad. We can pray. When things are very sad, we can do a lot, but we don't know how to manage success. David stayed back. Not because of anything, but because the last battle he won, he went, he won. There was nothing. He just won it with ease. The Bible said he killed these 40,000. He killed these thousands and all of that. And what happened to him, please? He came back and he relaxed. Why should I go to battle when I just won the last one? Why should I pray for 30 minutes when I just came back from fellowship? Why should I do my devotion today? Didn't I do it last week? I even did it yesterday. Whenever a man is beginning to touch success, success has a way of making a Christian drunk. And so we are usually defeated at the height of our successes. So sometimes God does not give us success. Now I want to tell you, this David that is staying at home, of course you know the implication of staying at home. This staying at home remained remarkable in the history of his lineage, because it was when he stayed at home this day that his throne and his palace and saw a woman taking her bath naked. If David had gone to this war, there will be nothing like Bathsheba in his life. There will be nothing like Bathsheba. And why is it that David do not go to war this time? David do not go to war this time because of what? Please, previous sources. So brothers and sisters, take it from me tonight that you are always very, very, very defeated at the prime of your success. Why do people face jam many times? Immediately they pass their WAEC, they relax. So when jam is coming, they use the same knowledge they say, after all, I got 7A star or 7A1 in WAEC. So what is jam? So, you know, with that kind of success mindset, they're approaching jam. And you trust jam now, what's the name? Is it not jam? So jam is going to jam them very well. And the standard of jam is not even 2 times the standard of wine. It should be about 3 times. Very, sometimes you see 2 answers that are almost the same. But jam says choose one. If you don't know it, you don't know it. So we are defeated at the prime. I want to tell you that anytime you pray for 2 hours, any day you pray, exceeding your usual prayer hour, take note. The next day, you are not going to pray again. You feel that after I just finished praying yesterday. You feel that what is the need of praying like that? This is the devil's problem. This is what kings suffer. So imagine that David, after defeating this the Syrians and the children of Ammon, in chapter 11, he said, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab. Now, Joab that has gone to that battle did not win. David sent a failure to go and fight his war again. How many times will he be sending a man who is not giving you victory? Joab went before, came back with nothing. David had to go and fight that battle to win. He sent his servant with him and all Israel, the Bible says, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. But they besieged Rabbah, but David tarried at home. Even though they have destroyed the children of Ammon, Rabbah was going to be a difficult battle for them to win. And it was in Rabbah that Uriah is going to be slaughtered. And David's mighty men were going to be killed. Because while the battle at Rabbah was going on, David was having fun. That's how people like to call it this day. With another person's wife. And I want to ask you. Now, look at it there in verse 2. That's not where I'm going, but just look at verse 2. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I wonder who wrote this and commented. I know that this is not David that wrote like this. But the person said, whatever David saw, it was good to look upon. I don't know how Samuel got to know about how the woman was beautiful to look upon. But, and here are the issues I want you to consider tonight if you find space in your heart. It is that David ought to be in battle, but this king was strolling on the corridor of his new letters building. Now, when he was running from cave to cave, David would not have time to stroll. Now, life is better. There's no more Saul. Saul is dead. Nobody is pursuing him. Abner is dead. All the men, even Shema, that used to abuse him and all of that. I have a prayer to just pray. And that prayer is, Lord, deliver me from my tendencies. You know, now you don't know. See, you are looking very gentle here. If the Lord give you 5 million naira and you can buy one latest car and build a house, I want to tell you tonight, you cannot come and sit in this fellowship. This our compound is going to be smelly to you. When you come here like this, you'll be throwing saliva in your handkerchief. That tendency is hidden in you. Now you don't know it because that thing has not come out. David will not do what he's doing now in the days of his battle, when he had several wars, when there was nothing breaking forth for him. He was a good, gentle shepherd boy, the Swiss army of Israel. But now, level of change. And with a new change of level, the real devil in David came out. The real person in David came out. And it's a matter, I just feel, if you want to pray about it, I want you to pray. Because you see, why I want you to pray about this, because now we are very gentle. Now there is no, we are all living downstairs, all of us, isn't it? You have not built a mansion where you'll be there and be looking. Some of you, your mansion is going to be 64 inches TV. Very big TV like this, very big. That's what will be in your house, with a small remote. That TV is going to withdraw you from fellowship. It's going to take you away from me. I'm telling you what will happen to you if you don't deal with that now. David never knew that when things become better in his life, he will relax and be looking at and be strolling with his eyes. Look at. I want to ask you, who should we blame, David or Bathsheba? Huh? We should blame David, not Bathsheba. Why was she bathing when the bathroom was not complete? And was bathing in the day, broad daylight. Why was she not careful to preserve her body? Huh? Who should we blame, David or Bathsheba? The women will blame David, of course, isn't it? Men, who are you blaming? Huh? You want to blame David? All the men, you're also blaming David. The two of them. It takes two to tango, right? It takes two to tango. We should blame the two of them. Eh? Because... No, let's talk. Let's discuss it. Let's discuss it. Okay. Hold on. Let's read the next verse. Let's read the next verse. Verse 3. And David sent... Listen. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent and inquired after the woman. No. The inquisition may come thereafter. May say, "Who do you think live here that you're describing? Inquire, who is this? Who is this?" All right? It may be. I may be that David upstairs call his servant and say, "Oh, yeah, come and see. Who is that woman?" It may be. If two of them watch the woman, baby, what do we call that? Don't tell me. Just keep it in your mind. All right? Now, but of course, whatever he's doing now, his own son, that's one thing with immoral sins. His own son is going to do it to his 10 wives. Nakedly, openly, he's going to steal the 10 concubines in broad daylight. Him, he's looking at the woman bathing naked. His own son is going to sleep with his own 10 concubines in a broad daylight. So whatever we're doing secretly, God is going to multiply it. Whatever a man soweth, what shall he do, please? So a caution to you and to me, but let's deal with the matter now. Even though this is not what I want us to touch to my bed. Let's push it a bit. Verse 5 or verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Verse 5. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, "I am with a child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah. Is he representing something like Nigeria? Did you see a lot of connection or corruption? Did you see connection, corruption, interconnection, and all of that? This one will do this, and then I want to ask you: when David sent for the woman, I mean, there are, like she mentioned now, there was somebody else that knew about the woman. David sent messengers to go and take the woman. Those messengers knew that this was not David's wife. There are people who help us to commit crimes. Those messengers went to help to bring the woman, and the woman took it. I want to ask you: when the woman came, did David rape her? What do you think David would have done, or anybody would have done, if the woman said, "When I got married to Uriah, my husband, who had gone to fight your battle, the battle of your Lord, and don't forget that we are not Israelite, my husband married me, and I swore on the day of our wedding that no man will know my nakedness. You can be the king of Israel, you are not the king over my body. You will not touch me today. If you like, kill me." Now, what do you think would have happened to David if it is a man who still had a small fear of God? What do you think would have happened? You understand now. So, sisters, you have very many reasons to continue to collect recharge cards from brothers, from men that are not your husband. And you have reasons. Say, "No, he didn't give me the recharge card. I'm not a big beggar himself." No, you don't need to beg. You are not a beggar. You are not a beggar. You have reasons to do whatever you like. And you say, "Well, there's the one that gave me the money. I'm not even begging." This Christmas, the reason why kings must go to battle is because very many things are free. Sex is going to be free. Kissing is, everything is going to be cheap. Don't tell a girl that I'm going to give you some money and so she will just fall. But the issue here is that this woman had a vow with Uriah. And let's look at it, because Uriah went to look for bread. He was a breadwinner. He went to fight the Lord's war. He's going to be paid as a soldier man to come and feed his wife. Don't forget, by this time they don't have a child. They were newly married. They don't have a child when the man went to war. And I had thought that Bathsheba was going to be very careful to say, "Look, I have a marriage vow with my husband, for better, for worse." Okay. And I tell you, if David had killed her in that house, raped her and killed her, the Bible will never forget that woman. Even the way he treated Uriah, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, they will always mention Uriah, and they will attribute this Bathsheba and say she's the wife of Uriah. If she took that gentle step and tell David, only two of us are here, you are the king, I am a nobody, kill me, I will never give it to you free. You can rape me and kill me at the gunpoint. Look, we have reasons to withstand temptations in the land. We have reasons to stand for the gospel in this end time where everybody seems loose and everything seems not to have a base. The woman fell in. The Bible says she slept with. He slept with her. There was no shouting. The woman did not cry out. She just likes it. Quietly, she liked it. She liked it. How do I know? Look at verse 4. And David sent messengers, and they took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. And she shouted, leave me alone! I am married to Uriah! Is it added? Is there anything like that? Make your excuses why you should continue in that secret thing. And one day, the word of God will be brought before you on the last day, and you will see that you had a reason for not doing what you are doing. And so he slept with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house, quiet. And verse 5 says, and the woman conceived. I don't want to believe that one-time experience led to pregnancy. It may, but it may have been more than one. She too began to like it. In her mind, she said, I'll soon become queen too. Who does not want to be queen? Who does not want to marry David? In her mind, probably, she was exalting it and liking it and saying, I married this poor batty man that went to battle. I don't even know whether he's coming back alive. So, I bet Jerry, woman no be wood. Let me try my own luck here and see if I'll become queen. Did she ever become queen? She never was. Anywhere the Bible mentioned her name, she said that which was the wife of Uriah. And Uriah was never a king. So she had her way. She did everything. Even the first child that came out, the child died. When kings go to war, men must go to war when they should go to war. A man who, I forgot where that proverb is, he said, a son that sleeps in summer. What did the Bible call it? We must be children of God that know when to wake up to pray when we should pray, to study when we should study. There is so much relax in the realm of the spirit over this land, and that's why iniquity, anywhere you see iniquity abounding, the saints of God have gone to bed. When you see iniquity multiply, I mean, in the vigil on Friday, we went around in the night praying over this land. We went to Tolu, enter into verse 1. And verse 2. I don't know what my brothers and sisters saw, but I know they saw darkness. They saw half dressed. We were there praying. I hope everybody prayed. I hope nobody was carried away. At around 11:30 in the night, it was pure darkness. Not just the women or the men here, but even at that point, you know, where I stood, that hammock car where the police. As we stood there, we were praying. The policeman there was checking. He was checking where I stood there. And then at the other corner, those boys were already gathering there, trying to organize their night robbery and all that they are doing in the middle of the night. So we must arise. Prayers must be everywhere in this season. The war God is talking about, in case you are mistaken, it is the war to pray. It's the war to preach. It's the war not to keep quiet. And excuse me, what is not going to make you do that? Why are we not that forceful? Why is this not consuming us? That's what will tell me to the book of Revelation, where we began gradually last Sunday. Go to Revelation chapter 12. What is making us not to be ready for this warfare that is demanding our attention and our lives now? Go to Revelation chapter 12. We'll push the matter and see where the Holy Spirit will bring us to a point of prayer. Are you in Revelation chapter 12? But there's already one prayer point I don't want you to miss. That prayer point is that, Lord, show me my future tendencies that I don't know now. That when I shall become great, when you would have blessed me with resources and I'll begin to fumble,
reveal my future that I don't know now. Now I am looking very humble. When you shall give me great anointing, will I begin to misbehave with sisters? Will I begin to misbehave with money? Will I begin to misbehave with your congregation? Can I allow you to pray that prayer for 1 minute? When you shall bless me with resources, will I begin to sit at home and to relax? Am I going to be a failure when I become successful? Will you want to pray that prayer? This kind of prayer does not need you shout at all, because again, you don't think there is anything serious. But you see, it is very, very important for me. Our tendencies, things you are not doing now, but you will do them when God gives you space. Things that you don't know are hidden over your human nature. But once God gives you opportunity to lead men, you will begin to do the things that are hidden in your nature. Lord, reveal myself to me. Help me to know myself, that I will not self-destruct your grace, that I will not become a disgrace to your grace, that I will not become inglorious to your glory, that I will not become ignoble to your noble position that you are going to place me. Reveal my tendencies. Brother, do you know your tendencies? Sister, when God shall bless you with several anointings, with several denominations, when God will open the door of the earth, the gate of the earth to you, do you know what you can do? Do you know that you cannot even talk gently with elders? Elderly people will become useless to you. You just look at everybody like that. You run down everyone. Lord, deliver me from my tendencies. Show me my tendencies, oh Lord. My idiosyncrasies. Things that I'm liable to do, but I'm not doing now, because the windows are not being opened. You know, you are praying for yourself now. Only you and God knows what I'm dealing with now. Only you and God know what I'm talking about. No, Lord. Now you are very gentle. You can stay among us as brethren. This company is not smelling. This fellowship is not a problem. You can eat with us now because God has not exalted you. When God exalts you now, you begin to sit in your comfort zone, in your palace. You no longer go to war. Bible study, you no longer go. Ah, grace has come. Sister, when you become a musician, when you become like Chidinma, will you go the way of Chidinma? Will you go the way of all our gospel singers who have traveled another path? We are praying, Lord, show me my tendencies. When you shall have a job, when you shall have all Israel in your hands and all servants, retinue of servants, will you still find a need to pray? Will you still find a need to read God's word? Will you still be serious? This thing you are asking God to give you, God, give me this, give me this. God is afraid of you. He's afraid that will kill you. He's afraid that you will fail when he grants you that success. Lord, scatter my tendencies. Knock them into pieces. Arrest them to your glory. Manifest your goodness over me. When kings go to war, may I not become relaxed. When you shall make me a king, when you shall make me to rule over your inheritance, may I not mismanage them. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. May the Lord answer that prayer. I thought I would hear amen. Amen. May the Lord cause you to see your tendencies in the future. Amen. May the Lord reveal to you what you can do that you are not doing now. Amen. That you may fight over your future life until your tendencies are broken. Amen. May your future tendencies not disgrace the grace of God in your life. Amen. May you not fall when God has built a skyscraper of destiny to you and for you. Amen. May you not fall from there. Amen. Because you never dealt with your eyes. Because you never dealt with your ears. Because you never dealt with your mouth and your heart. Lord, those who are gossips, we pray that, Lord, they will not fall from the height of your glory. May the Lord answer that prayer. So, what can make us prepare for war? Look at Revelation 12. How do we stage this war that we may win it? Revelation chapter 12. Are you there? Revelation chapter 12. And they appeared a great wonder. Where, please? In heaven. Who did you find there now? A woman. What is happening to her? She's clothed with the sun. And what, please? And the moon. And what is under her feet? And She was with how many stars were there? Her head had a crown of 12 stars. Stop there. May the Lord give us entrance into this revelation. Now, I want you to know that in the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is the book of Revelation. And there are two dimensions of every revelation of God's word. There is the revelationary knowledge that comes from revelation, and there is the creative revelation. Now, the revelationary knowledge is a revelation that comes to stay your faith, to see what's supposed to be, to know what's supposed to be. That is very critical. And several of us, God is gradually bringing us to that kind of revelation of knowledge. Don't forget, the revelation of knowledge is different from the word of knowledge. It's also different from the word of wisdom. They're all different. Now, the difference majorly is because the revelation knowledge is a knowledge that comes as a gift of God. It's a ministry. The revelation of the knowledge of God and His word is a ministry. Whereas the word of knowledge is a gift of the Spirit. It's not a ministry. You can have it today and may not have it tomorrow, depending on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So those are gifts. It's among the 9 gifts of the Spirit. But the revelation knowledge that I'm dealing with, which is not even what I'm talking about now, then the creative one. Now, the creative revelation is the revelation. I want you to see that part of what God is going to be doing in our generation. Ministry is going to be moved from the church completely, maybe to a very large extent. And one of the things that is going to be resulting to that, as I kept praying and I keep sensing in my heart, you know, I shared 3 things in the video. I was sharing something about, what is that again? Accuracy. Yes, accuracy. So, again, those are realms of where God is bringing us. See, where the church is now, we are in a moment where, like in the days of Jesus, there were synagogues, and then Jesus came. Now, Jesus would go to the synagogue and do one thing, but most of his ministry was outside the synagogue. Do you remember that now? Now, of course, the difference between a temple and a synagogue is that the synagogue were worship centers in the rural areas, whereas temple were in the city. So, in a whole town, you may have one temple, like the Temple of Solomon and all of that. But Jesus will not always get into temple and all of that and synagogue. He will go there once in a while, but all his ministry was outside. Now, this is where the church is coming to now. There'll be so much ministry inside. Like in Acts chapter 3, the lame man stayed at the beautiful gate, hoping that those who enter the temple may give him money. He was not waiting for healing. But that healing he finally got, was it from the temple or into the temple? I'm not hearing you now. It was into that healing did not come from the sanctuary. It came from men who were going to pray. They have not prayed. They could heal a lame man. Now, if God anoint you like that, will you still go to the temple and pray? People were going to go and pray. They saw a lame man and said, "Silver and gold have we not been such as we have. In the name of Jesus, rise up and look on us." And they looked and they saw that I had faith. Peter took him up. Now, if God has anointed you like that, will you still enter that temple and kneel down and pray? Because now, if they heal that man before prayer, what would they do if they finish praying? Now, I leave you to imagine. Now, the true Christianity, prophetically, where we are in the body of Christ, is that God is moving the church outside now. So, miracles and healings are going to be happening outside. So, there will be major, because you see, I thank God. You know, yesterday I had something that triggered me. And I was so shocked when Pastor Adeboye said yesterday that if you hear that Adeboye is dead, don't believe anybody that I'm not dying. That the Lord told him that he is not dying until he built a city as big as what? Ibadan. That means you heard it. He said he's not dying. When I had to listen, I rewinded, I listened again and again. He said he is not dying until he built a camp as big as the largest city in West Africa, Ibadan. Why that is going on, and we're watching to see what God is doing. But I'm dealing with the fact that it will never be possible to house people again into building. Because the congregation that is coming is going to be too large. the stadium that the world has been building, I've been saying these things for many years now, that the stadium that you see them building, like Camp Nou, the largest stadium in the world, all those stadiums and all these related stadiums and all the stadiums in the world, they are prophetically being arranged. It is for congregation, it's for fellowship, it's for meetings. Very soon, soccer, nobody will like anything about soccer. When what we are dealing with happens, nobody will like soccer. It will be the word of God. And you see, channels would have been provided already. Platform would have been built already. All this Niger belt, people will be going there now to hear who is speaking next. Who is the next minister? That's what is going to happen. This is what I'm preparing for. This is what I thought that's what we are preparing together for. But I'm so sorry that some of you don't understand what we are dealing with. Some of you think that we're just together. No, we're not just together. There is something God is doing. So people will be watching there and say, who is ministering next? Okay. The whole world is going to be engulfed in a worldwide revival. Now, so but how are you going to fit into that great thing that God is doing? So ministry is going to be moved from church to outside. Healings are, I will just, one day like that, the brother will just come and say, let's go out. We'll just enter, we'll just go and raise some few sick people. Once you raise a lame person, you have already called. You know, when that little girl did something in Akure, how many of you watched that sometime this year? You saw the crowd that pull out. That's what I'm dealing with. But you see, what is coming is not going to be once in a while. It will happen here, happen here, happen here. This brother is doing it, the other brother is doing it. And I pray that you prepare yourself for the days that are coming.
Amen.
But you need to be accurate in the spirit. But let me not go into that. But look at verse 12 now. Verse 1 of chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder. Where? In heaven. This is what we are preparing for. Oh, and I like it. I like when they say, and they appear. So the revival that is coming is going to be a divine appearance. You will not know how it's coming. The Bible says, as the wind blows, John 3:7, and you know not where it listed, so are they that are born in the spirit. A divine appearance of a mighty revival is coming. Now, and they appear a great wonder, and it's going to be a great wonder. And I want to pray tonight, and I'm saying, Lord, make me appear like that. Now, the word appear means all protocol, very unnecessary. All protocol, not needed. Last Sunday, we were praying about systems of grace and mercy, isn't it now? I went back listening to you, and I said, oh, it's true. It's true. And last night, when Brother Billy was concluding Goko, oh, I jumped. You know what he said? He read Isaiah 60. That was the final chapter. When he read Isaiah 60, he finished the whole chapter. He said, you are listening to me. You have lost 10 years. He mentioned that 10 years. He said, you have lost 10 years, but I'm going to reduce what you have lost in 10 years into 10 weeks. Oh, I tell you, I was everywhere jumping. I said, this little thing we are sharing here is happening live. And one of our brothers, Atim Brajai, he has been studying the book of Isaiah chapter 60. So each time he shares devotion, I will just read it and say, I will glean on it. And when Brother Billy started speaking, I saw what that brother has been fetching. As he's sharing his devotion, I saw what he'd been fetching. I said, Lord, look at this. This brother needs to listen to this. I wish he listened last night. I was so blessed when the Lord mentioned my particular case. You know what I did? I got up. He said 10 weeks. I said 10 weeks is 4 weeks, 1 month. I counted 2 months and 2 weeks. What I've lost for 10 years, God says, giving me for 2 months and 2 weeks. Is that not beautiful now? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it is a truth that God is doing. He will do something and suddenly will appear. And there appear a great wonder in heaven. And that wonder was a woman that is clothed with the sun. Brothers and sisters, this may be referring to the church. I don't want you to bother about that. This may be referring to any other object. But I like it. And I ask the Lord to do it for me. Eh? And I'm praying. See, if we are going to win the war against the end time, the Lord must clothe you. This, our spirit must be clothed with something not less than the sun. This woman, whether she represents the body of Christ, to which I'm a member, whatever she represents, the Bible said there was need to clothe her with what, please? With the sun as a garment. I want to be clothed like that. Look, if we are going to see our generation, witchcraft, yesterday I was sharing somewhere, I said witchcraft, evil spirit, and all manners of darkness, they have also gone online. They are on social media. They have gone electronic as well. So don't think that you find them at the backyard. They have gone. Witches and wizards are online. Ah, they are operating scientifically. So you see, you need your spirit to be clothed with the Son of Righteousness. So that as you are moving on the street, you see what is emitting out of you are rays of the sunlight. Emitting and that. Look, look, I'm looking for a glory. Brothers, sisters, I'm looking for a glory that as we are moving on the street, you know, for John, it was their shadows. And all you just pour your saliva on the ground. After 10 days, people are still touching salivas and they are getting healed. They say that brother passed here, his saliva. He said, is he here? They are bringing lame people. They have become the healing center. God is going to do very great and mighty wonders. And it's going to be in our lives. But you see, it's going to be that number one, you are clothed with the Son of Righteousness. God will clothe us with that kind of a garment. In the name of this. Now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to see that in the realm of the spirit, you need that kind of an attire. You know, the other day, Joshua was clothed with what? Filthy garment. Who you are in the spirit can be deciphered when you come around. When you come around, we know what you are wearing in the spirit. This woman was clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet. Don't you like something like that? Somebody is asking, is that possible? Well, I warned you severally. I don't read the Bible again to understand. I read it to believe. The Bible does not say if you understand, you have a miracle. No, no, no. If you believe, I prefer to just believe. So the woman clothed with the sun, her feet with the moon, and 12 crowns of stars on her head. You say, is it possible? It has happened before. Anything that God has done for one person, he can do for another. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph saw this sun, and the moon, and the 11 stars. What were they doing to him? They were bound. And me, I'm asking God that they should not bow. I want to wear the sun in my spirit. Is it not possible now? My brother Joseph, I want to tell you, why do you think that in Egypt, before Moses could enter Egypt, for Moses to enter Egypt, there was so much darkness in Egypt. Demons were there. If Moses wanted to enter, he go with a rod. And he would throw his rod, they would throw their magician, would throw their own, they would be swallowing. There was a context. But several years later, when Joseph entered Egypt, there was no struggle. He entered, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph entered Egypt at an angle. The sun had already bowed. The moon, and some of you, your Bible study teacher told you that the sun was who? The father. And the moon was who? The mother had already died. So it could never have been the mother. When Joseph's mother died, when he was giving birth to Benjamin, so it could never be. So that interpretation is far beyond that. So God had done it again. When Joseph entered Egypt, he entered with the sun and the moon and the stars bowing to him. There was nothing that could stop him anywhere. And so this woman was clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet, and her head with the crowns of 12 stars. May the Lord decorate us like this. May the new you, see, this is how you need to be, to dress up to fight the end time war. You need a sun, you need the heat of the Son of Righteousness. We're using the physical sun as an explanation of the heat we're meant to emanate as the light of the world. As the light of the world, when that Isaiah 60 that brought Billy read yesterday said, arise and shine. In my heart, I say, oh, let the sun in me that I'm clothed with, let that sun shine. The Son of Righteousness with healings in its wings. Now, and that woman, look at verse 2 now, and the woman be with child. Before we read, I want you to pray, Lord, clothe me like that. If you like it, like I like it, can you pray and say, Lord, reclad me in the spirit. Some of us are so naked. You are wearing linen. You are wearing soft tissue. You are wearing so demons, all kinds of things play with your dream world. It was a woman. Are you not a woman? Sister, wear something better. There are better clothes. There are better dresses in the spirit. Collect something better and wear. There's something better. This your knicker is not helping. This your spiritual linen is too soft. This your hair tie. It's not tie anything. Collect the sun. Real women wear sun in the spirit. Real women have the moon on their feet, and real women have 12 stars on their crowns. I want you to receive this dressing. Ibra la bakashane. Marakaturu koshanabala. Marakotore keshiningra. You're not praying. I'm not hearing you. You're not praying. You're not praying. You cannot conquer this generation like this. You cannot conquer this generation being this weak. Your spirit needs something of higher intensity. We need to emit the light of the glorious gospel. The grace of God must begin to ooze out of our lives. You need something great. Christ must become the Son of righteousness, with the heat and the intensity to melt situations. Hallelujah. Maraka talaba. Nere keteria shadia. Marakota kota kota. Nere keteke sheria bralabra. Mururakra la bralabra. Arara kutra kra. Marakata kata kata ka. Brarakra shembrel brulabro. Marabara. Lord, address me. Remove this cloth, this filthy garment. Give me the cloth of righteousness. I must wear the soft cloth. Heat. Mala kata kata ka. Mara la bra la bra. Mara kete kete ke. My clothes are too soft. Your spirit is too soft. Your spirit is too cold. You need a sword to be your clothes. Lord, clothe my spirit with a sword. Let my feet be the moon, and let my head carry 12 stars. Iniquity will melt from your heart. Sin will no more be an issue to worry about. In Jesus' name we pray. Now look at verse 2. Oh, but I like that verse 1. Now can you imagine that you have the sun to be your spiritual cloth, and lies want to come out of your mouth? What happened to the lies? It will be burnt off. We tell lies because the degree of fire in our heart is too weak. And flies only perch on cold stove. When the stove is cold, flies will perch there. May the Lord increase the intensity of our heat. May Jesus become the Son of righteousness, heating and sitting at the tables of our heart. Look at verse 2 now. And the woman, be with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. We are going to reserve that verse maybe another time. But look at verse 3. Because if you enter in that verse 2, it will lead us to Isaiah 66. But look at verse 3 now. And there appear another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. I want you to look at that verse 3. Careful now. I want us to pray with that. And there appear. Now in verse 1, there appear. What? A great wonder in heaven. That's verse 1. Verse 3 says, and there appear another. And I want you to see that this another is not just another. That word another does not mean the same thing. That another means an opposition. Now, as God is preparing us to appear with the sun and with the moon under our feet, the solar system will be under our control. I'm bringing this upon the fact that if the earth is the Lord, if you were here in the first fellowship, if the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the people and all that is therein, then as the Lord is giving us access to the earth, he's also giving us access to the sky. The solar system is going to be under our feet. Amen. We're going to control the world over the nations of the world. Amen. But that is only going... I like this amen. It came very loud when I mentioned wealth. But it was very low when I mentioned sin. God, it was so sharp. But be it unto you according to your faith.
and there appear another wonder in heaven. Now, as God is going to be showcasing us over the nations of the world, you see, very soon, you see me, you will not know me. Where we are going, look, we are going to melt into nations of the world.
Amen.
See, you will sleep in India and wake up in the U.S.
Yeah.
You see, there will be so much ministry to do. There will be a lot. This period of time, we are taking time to train ourselves. It's a global ministry we are going into. See, those of you that know how to keep small videos, keep keeping this small apartment we are meeting. One day you will remember that, is it that small thing that brother used to tell us? These things are coming to pass. They will happen in our days.
Yeah.
You see, whether you say amen or not, I'm so sure it will happen. It is not based on your amen, because some of you, there is small doubt inside your amen. You are saying, how can that thing happen? It will happen. When this great wonder happened in verse 1, the devil was very angry. What did he do in verse 3 now? The devil manufactured his own wonder. Now look at that. And there appear another wonder in heaven. What is the difference between verse 1 and verse 3? Do you see the word another? But aside the word another, there's something else. And there appear another word, wonder in heaven. The wonder in verse 1 is a great wonder. Why the wonder in verse 3 is what? It's an ordinary wonder. I hope you didn't miss that. Very important. Now, if you have that understanding, then we can run into the verse. Now, there appear another wonder. Now, keeping that understanding in mind, what is this another wonder? This another wonder is not a great wonder. But look at it. Behold, a great red dragon. Having what, please? Having seven heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail. Now, that will push us too far. I just want you to look at that. They appear another. So, as God is planning to cause you to appear and manifest, what I'm dealing with is the fact that God is going to break a lot of protocol. As we saw last Sunday, things you have struggled with over 10 years, like I share my own testimony, God is going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness.
Yeah.
In the closing church of yesterday, when Brother Billy, he brought that to bear when he read that Isaiah 60. He brought that so suddenly that God is going to be doing things in quick successions. And I say, Lord, so you really mean it? It will happen. Now, when the devil saw that great wonder in verse 3, the devil manufactured his own wonder. Now, a red dragon came out. That red dragon came out having 7 heads, 10 horns. Now, if you have 7 heads, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you have 10 horns, how does 10 horns fit into 7 heads? If there were 14 horns, what will happen? 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. But this one singular dragon has 7 heads, the 10 horns. How do you express 7 with 10? I leave that to your imagination. Now, he said again, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and then 7 crowns upon his head. Now, there are 10 heads, 7, I mean, there are 10, there are 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon 7 heads. So for crowns, they fitted into 7 heads. But for horns, they will not enter. So it means that there is one head that is carrying one and a half horn. This horn is married to the other one over one dragon. That is a dragon that appeared to the woman in verse 3 that was traveling in birth. And this is what I want you to pray about. That when kings go to war, if you are not well dressed, this kind of dragon that appeared, the dragon appeared to deal with the woman in verse 1 and 2. Now look at verse 4. And his tail, the tail of the dragon, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as the child was born. So, can you imagine now? The woman in verse 2 that is traveling in bed, that means she was pregnant. Can you imagine now? So, if verse 1, listen to me carefully now. If verse 1 was dealing with the fact that the woman was wearing the sun as a garment, as a cloth, I want you to do a little imagination. What is the shape of the sun if the woman is pregnant? Just imagine a little bit and I'll leave you with that. Verse 2 said the woman was traveling in bed, meaning that she is heavily pregnant. But verse 1 says she was clothed with the sun. What shape of the sun? What? So the sun was what shape? Maternity gown shape. You don't understand. I will not push it. Because see, brother, understanding will wait to understand. Those of us that just believe, will just believe. I leave you with that. Now, so the dragon came as the woman stepped out, traveling in bed to push for the child. The dragon came to be the midwife. The dragon came with 7 heads, 7 crowns, 10 horns, all of that, frightening the woman whether the baby should go back. Or if the baby is delivered, you will devour the child. I'm praying. Everything you must deliver in your generation. Everything you must. Now, in Jemichael is going to come. But even Jemichael seemed to accomplish. He will come in verse 7. But we're praying tonight that everything that I have risen against your traveling in bed. I want to see some of you. You are supposed to have entered a very serious ministry. But as you are traveling for the ministry to come out, the dragon is saying, for where there is no ministry here. You are supposed to release a very serious product to the market. But the dragon is waiting at your delivery point. He said, not here. And so your productivity has been silenced because of the dragon standing at your labor room. And I want you to pray tonight. Everything that is propelling against my delivery, everything that is affecting the church from releasing Christ, everything that is not making Jesus to be born to the nations of the world, that dragon will overcome you by the word of the Lord and by the word of his testimony. By the blood of the Lord and by the word of his testimony. By the blood of the Lord and by the word of his testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Every another wonder. Elaka, Shalaba, rise up. Everybody rise up. We're praying now. We're praying to conclude now. When kings go to war, it's time for war, brothers. Sisters, you have a prayer to pray. If you are satisfied with what God is doing in your life, please pray for me. And pray that the Lord will be merciful to me. Everything you must deliver in this generation must be delivered. We are praying now in the name of Jesus. Those of you that have arrived, please pray for me here in the name of Jesus. That the Lord will cause me to deliver that which he gave me into eternity. That which he gave me from eternity to bring into time. I must deliver. This dragon cannot frustrate the grace of God over my life. I have come to the point of birth. My baby cannot go back. My baby cannot go back. La la bagajana bala bajanere. Sherry la pra la pra la bakoto. My baby cannot go back and it must be delivered. I'm not hearing you pray now. As you deliver your child. Have you delivered your vision? Have you delivered your mandate? There is a dragon that stands at the devil in the name of Jesus. Lord, show me mercy. Father, show me mercy. Holy Spirit, Marakote prelebaga. Holy Spirit, this another wonder. This red dragon, you cannot frustrate the grace of God in our lives. My baby will not be devoured. My ministry will not be devoured. My calling must reach the ends of the earth. God's mandate for me, Lava Shanti Pro. No la cachekre la bralaga shene. Guru Kote. God's mandate for my life must shine forth to the nations of the world. Yes, 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 yes. You did that for Joseph. Oh, the sun, the moon, the star, they bow. Oh Lord, they have become my own clothes in the spirit. The moon is under my feet. Whatever that will mean, I don't mind. I don't mind to have the moon under my feet. I don't mind to have the sun and my spiritual clothes. Oh, and the 12 crowns of stars over my head. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Promise me you'll come early next Sunday. Because we come late, it makes us close late. 5:30 to 6:30 or 5 to 6:30. If you come like that, we'll finish on time. Now we have matters to pray, but we cannot push beyond here. But I'm praying for you here that red great dragon, that another wonder, that dragon cannot be your midwife. That dragon cannot midwife your destiny. Every red dragon standing at the labor room of your delivery, we command the red blood of Jesus to wipe off that dragon in the name of Jesus. Father, Father, it is time for us to appear in the nations of the world. We are the next great wonders over the nations of the world. Asia, we are coming. Singapore, we are coming. Europe, we are coming.
Yeah.
America, we are coming.
Yeah.
We will fix America.
Yeah.
We will fix North and Central America.
Yeah.
South Africa, as we are praying for you today in this fellowship, South Africa will be fixed in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, you embodied us on Friday and we are praying for America and Israel.
Yeah.
Israel will have peace upon the earth.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, no man will remove you from office.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We are the next wonders of the world.
Amen.
We are the great wonders of God's army.
Amen.
We are the armies God is raising.
Amen.
Nothing is stopping us.
Amen. Amen.
This revival will sweep across Africa.
Amen.
Lord, several of us will have nothing to live for but to live for revival.
Amen.
So Lord, we sentence our lives into this revival.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We pray tonight, Father.
Yes, Lord.
As that woman was traveling in birth, we will travel until Jesus will be born into the nations of the world.
Amen.
This dragon, you are just wasting your time.
Yes.
Your horns will not touch us.
Amen.
Your head will not terrorize us.
Amen.
The vision of giving Jesus birth over every continent will be realized by our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus shall reign over the nations of the world.
Amen.
And by our lives, his throne will be established.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, Father. We receive the sun as our clothes. We receive the moon under our feet.
Amen.
Our head with the 12 stars of cloud.
Amen.
We shall no more be defeated.
Amen.
Any demon that see us dressed like that.
Amen.
Everywhere we enter, we dress with the sun and the moon under our feet.
Amen.
And the stars over our head.
Amen.
This is our new clothing in the spirit.
Amen.
Every filthy garment we used to wear before, just like Joshua, those filthy garments are removed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, this word you have spoken to us,
yes, Lord,
they'll be materialized in our time.
Amen.
In few days, there'll be a testimony.
Amen.
Thank you, mighty Jehovah.
Thank you, Lord.
Bring us back next Sunday as we summarize this year with us.
Amen.
In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
Please sit down. I took a lot of time today, but I hope I do not waste your time.